This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a very pleasant good morning, everybody. As always, good to be back with you. This is the Marlins Rewind. And last night at Truist Park up in Atlanta, game three of this four-game series between the Marlins and the Braves. Braves checked into the ballgame, four up, seven down. Marlins riding a three-game winning streak, four wins, six losses. An opportunity to take the first three games in this series. They called upon the right-hander, Nick Neidert. Neidert was going up against Charlie Morton. And with the recap, as always, here was Glenn Geffner.
Welcome back to Lone Depot Park. After a 6-5, 10-inning Marlins victory over the Atlanta Braves tonight, what a ball game. Marlins jumped out early. And then after the Braves rallied, they pull it out late, hang on for dear life in the bottom of the 10th. Miami has won the first three games of this four-game series in a ballpark that has been a literal house of horrors for the Marlins since it opened in 2017. It's a new year. It's a new day. And this Braves team, which has really owned the Marlins in recent seasons, most notably knocking Miami out of the playoffs last year in a three-game sweep in the National League Division Series, coming to see that this Marlins team is a different ball club here in 2021. And it was a different team in 2020 than it had been previously. It's a nice way to start this series. It's a 4-1 road trip with one game remaining for the Marlins and a chance to earn a four-game series sweep tomorrow and come home 5-1. What a feat that would be against the New York Mets and the Atlanta Braves. Let's get to how the Marlins won this ball game tonight. Nick Neidert, the Atlanta native, making just his second big league start, was pitching in his hometown against the team he grew up rooting for with friends and family, packing the stands at Truist Park tonight. You know the heart had to be racing for Neidert, and after the Marlins went down 1-2-3 against Charlie Morton in the first inning, Nick came out and very calmly was able to set down the Braves in order, Acuna, Freeman, and Ozuna, striking out Marcel to make it through the first, three up, three down for both starting pitchers. In the Marlins' second, with one out, Brian Anderson walked, a Jazz Chisholm infield single put men at first and second, and Miguel Rojas came to the plate for Miami. Immediate results as Rojas rips a ball down the left field line toward the corner. Fair, it's going to bounce up over the wall for a ground rule double. That'll score Anderson, Chisholm to third. Miguel Rojas stays hot, and Miami takes a 1-0 lead in the second. Marlins had a chance for more in that inning. Second and third, still only one out. But the number eight man, the catcher Alfaro, coming up in front of the pitcher. And I said at the time, it's a huge at-bat for Alfaro. Marlins need to find a way to push some more runs across. Jorge, though, struck out. And when Nick Neidert did the same, Marlins left runners in scoring position at second and third, leading 1-0 into the bottom of the second. Neidert allowed a one-out walk in the second inning to Ozzie Albies, but got Dansby Swanson into a 5-4-3 double play. So things were looking good. They would soon be looking better in the top of the third when the top of the order came up a second time round against Charlie Morton. Corey Dickerson hit by a pitch to begin the third inning. Starling Marte a single that put men at the corners and got Jesus Aguilar up there. Marlins have Marte at first, Dickerson at third, nobody out. 3-2 pitch to Aguilar, ground ball into the hole at short. Diving stop Swanson, no play, an infield hit, and RBI, 2-0 Miami. Dickerson scores from third, Marte takes second, and Jesus Aguilar now has a 9-game hitting streak to begin the season. And we'll hear more from Jesus Aguilar a little bit later in this ballgame. At that point, first and second with nobody out, but Adam Duvall took a called third strike. He went 1-for-5 tonight with 4 Ks after the big night last night. When Brian Anderson fouled out to first base, there were 2 outs in the third inning. Still, the Marlins had 2 men on. They were trying to bust this game open a little bit, but it would take a big blow from the rookie second baseman, Jazz Chisholm. 2-1 pitch to Chisholm is in the air to center field. That's going to send Inciarte back, way back at the wall. Goodbye! Home run, Jazz Chisholm. A 3-run blast. And the Marlins busted open. It's 5-0 in the third. But there was still a lot of baseball left to be played tonight, and you know how good this Braves lineup is. If you didn't know, you were reminded as the night went on. In the home half of the third inning, with one out, after Austin Riley hit a fly ball to the wall and right, Ender Inciarte, the number eight man, drew a walk. We thought with a 5-0 lead and 7-8-9 coming up, it was a chance for an easy inning potentially for Neidert, but it wouldn't be. Inciarte walked. The pitcher Morton struck out, so there were two outs, a man at first. But Nick then had to face Ronald Acuna Jr., the hottest hitter in the game. The 1-1 to him is blasted a long way. Deep left center field. This one's not coming back. A two-run home run for Ronald Acuna Jr., and the Braves are on the scoreboard. It's 5-2. Remember that name, Ronald Acuna Jr. You'll hear from him again tonight. You'll hear from him again over the next couple of decades. In the fourth inning, with the Marlins leading 5-2, Neidert got the first two outs. Then he walked Ozzie Albies. He walked Dansby Swanson. But he got Austin Riley to pop to shortstop to escape the inning. In the fifth, the inning of decision, has to get through five with the lead to qualify for the win. Neidert tonight looking for his first big league win potentially. He allowed a leadoff single to the eight-man Ender Inciarte, but with Inciarte running, Charlie Morton popped a bunt back to the pitcher. Neidert caught it out of the air, threw to first for the easy double play. So there were two outs with nobody on in the fifth. Marlins leading 5-2. Here came Acuna again. He ripped a double to center field, staying hot. He'd get even hotter before this game was over. With a man at second and two outs, Acuna was looking to get picked up by Freddie Freeman. 3-for-11 with a double and an RBI in the series. And Freeman rips one to right field, a long way back and off the top of the wall. Duval fields it. Here comes Acuna. He's going to score. It's a 5-3 game on a long single by Freddie Freeman. Atlanta's back within two. That would be it for Neidert. He wanted to get through the fifth inning. He just couldn't do it, though. Adam Simber came on with the tying man at the plate, two outs in the fifth, and he got Marcelo Zuna to ground to third to get out of the inning. So for Neidert tonight, 4 2/3 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs. He walked 4, struck out 3, allowed the Acuna home run, 76 pitches, 42 strikes for Neidert. Not only did Simber get through the fifth, he pitched a scoreless sixth inning. He issued a one-out walk to Ozzie Albies, but got Swanson to line to short on a nice diving play by Miguel Rojas. Then Austin Riley struck out, so we went to the seventh, Miami 5 and Atlanta 3. Charlie Morton done after 6, 7 hits, 5 runs. He walked 2, struck out 9. Allowed a home run tonight to Jazz Chisholm, 96 pitches, 62 strikes. Marlins couldn't score against Sean Newcomb despite a leadoff walk in the top of the seventh. In the bottom of the inning, Richard Bleier came on looking to protect a 2-run lead. He allowed a leadoff single to Ender Inciarte. Inciarte, though, was a race on a fielder's choice. Pinch hitter Ede Adrianza hit into a 3-6 fielder's choice. Inciarte out at second. Adrianza was at first. With one out in the seventh, Marlins nursing a 2-run lead when Bleier had to face that guy again, Ronald Acuna Jr. Lefties late in games out of the bullpen. There's a high fly ball deep down the right field line toward the corner, and Acuna's done it again. A 2-run homer. The Marlins' 5-0 lead is gone. It's 5-5 in the seventh. So a blown save charge to Richard Bleier, and we were back where we began, all knotted up as we headed to the eighth. Luke Jackson got the top of the eighth. Adam Duvall leadoff single, but he was promptly erased on a 5-4-3 double play off the bat of Brian Anderson. Then back-to-back walks to Chisholm and Rojas gave the Marlins a chance against Fort Lauderdale's Luke Jackson. They then pulled off a double steal, putting men at second and third with two down. But again, in a big spot, Jorge Alfaro struck out. He did have a hit tonight, a single in the sixth inning, but Jorge 1-for-4, 3 Ks in the ballgame. We went to the bottom of the eighth, tied at 5. Dylan Floro has become a terrific setup man for the Marlins in recent days. He pitched a 1-2-3 inning. He struck out Darnot. He got Albies and Swanson to both bounce to second. So into the ninth we went. The Marlins and Braves tied at 5. Will Smith, the Braves' closer, came on to work the top of the ninth inning. Garrett Cooper, leading off pinch hitting, struck out. Then back to the top of the order, Corey Dickerson struck out. Starling Marte struck out. And we went to the last of the ninth. The Braves had a chance to walk it off in a 5-5 game. John Curtis got the ninth inning, allowed a leadoff single to Austin Riley. But Ender Inciarte, who we thought might bunt, squared to bunt, pulled the bat back, swung away, hit a bouncer back to the pitcher, and Curtis started a 1-6-3 double play. So just like that, the leadoff man erased, two outs, nobody on. Pinch hitter Pablo Sandoval struck out, and we went to the 10th inning for the second time in this series. For the Marlins in the top of the 10th against Tyler Matzek, tough lefty, the inning began with the designated runner Starling Marte at second base, looking to snap the tie, leading off the 10th inning, Jesus Aguilar. Big right-hander pauses, now delivers the 1-2. Aguilar line drive to left field, racing over Ozuna, can't get it. In for a base hit. Marte's coming home. He's going to score, digging for second Aguilar. And on a close play, he slides in safely. The Marlins grab a 6-5 lead in the 10th. That was all they could get, though, as Duvall, Anderson, and Chisholm all followed his strikeout against Tyler Matzek. So we went to the bottom of the 10th. Marlins up by just a run. Yimi Garcia coming on to pitch. The designated runner was Enderin Ciarte, and the top of the order was coming up for the Braves. So down a run, they had a man at second, nobody out in the ninth inning, and the first man to the plate, the hottest hitter in the universe, Ronald Acuna Jr. The kick in the 0-2 to Acuna. Swing and a miss. He blew it by him at 95, one out in the 10th. A three-pitch strikeout for Yimi Garcia. Nice way to start the 10th. Then, didn't get much easier, Freddie Freeman, last year's National League MVP, was next to the plate, and in a spot where a base hit would have tied the ball game, he scalded the ball out towards center field, but moving over to make the catch, Starling Marte, that was out number two on the fly ball, though, and Ciarte advanced to third. So two outs, 10th inning, the tying man was 90 feet away, and Yimi Garcia looked to end it, facing last year's National League home run and RBI king, the one-time Marlin, Marcelo Ozuna. Tying man at third, two outs, 1-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Yimi Garcia did it. The Marlins get an RBI double from Jesus Aguilar in the top of the 10th, and then facing the gauntlet, Acuna, Freeman, and Ozuna, with the tying man at second to begin the inning. Garcia rings up his second save of the season. He struck out Acuna. He got Freeman to fly to center. And then Marcelo Ozuna down on strikes. The Marlins have won three straight in Atlanta. Tonight's final in 10, Miami 6, and the Braves 5. How about that? For the Marlins, 6 runs, 9 hits, no errors, 7 left. For the Braves, 5 runs, 8 hits, no errors. They left 5 on base. John Curtis, the winning pitcher, for the second night in a row. He's 2-0. Tyler Matzek takes the loss 0-1. Yimi Garcia saved number 2. Time of the ballgame, 3 hours, 26 minutes. With the victory, the Marlins have won 4 in a row. They improved to 5-6 on the season. Remember, they started 1-6. Now they're 5-6, including a 4-1 record on the road. As for the Braves, they've lost now 4 straight after a 4-game winning streak. They dropped to 4-8 on the year. They're just 2-4 in their home ballpark, Truist Park. Got one more between these two teams at 12-10 tomorrow. Lefty Trevor Rogers, who beat Jacob deGrom and the Mets on Saturday, will face the right-hander Ian Anderson, who had the great rookie year last year. Rogers comes in 1-1, a 1.80 ERA through 2 starts. Anderson, his first 2 starts, no record, an ERA of 4.35. Marlins pitchers tonight struck out 8 Braves hitters. That means $200 to AutoNation's Drive Pink Initiative. The Marlins and AutoNation again partnering this season to help strike out cancer. $200 additional dollars will be donated to AutoNation's Drive Pink Initiative with the performance tonight on the season. Now we're up to $2,675 thanks to Marlins strikeouts on the mound.
That is a monster win for the Marlins. I mean, they battled all night long. Acuna tried to single-handedly win it himself for Atlanta, but the Marlins prevail once again in extra innings. Here was Marlins manager Don Mattingly after the victory.
Don, I think that one positive, very positive thing that we've been seeing from this ball club in the last couple of days, the way they've been coming back and fighting to win the games. What did you see from the guys, and especially in the last couple of innings tonight?
No, obviously that's a game that's, you know, you get up 5 early, and then we just didn't really seem to build, get a whole lot going after that. You know, after we get up 5, you know, Acuna gets them right back in it with that homer, which, you know, gets the momentum kind of back on their side, or at least gives them hope in that scenario. And, you know, then obviously we got at the end of the game there, really just getting some pitching from our guys, getting zeros. Yimi is probably, that's about as tough a spot as you can possibly be in. With as hot as Acuna is, Freddie's swinging it. Marcel, so I mean, that's just crazy. That's about as uncomfortable as you can be with a one-run lead, the guys they have coming up right there.
Christina?
Yeah, Donnie, I guess
we've mentioned, I guess, over the last few years, how tough the Braves have been against the Marlins, especially in Atlanta. To win a four-game series there is pretty rare. I think it was since 2014. Just what does that mean? I know it's early in the season, but for this ball club.
Well, it's something we talk about as far as win series. And we, you know, so we had to get on that track. But, you know, obviously it's early in the season. And I think the biggest thing is that we look at these guys as a measuring stick, as the best team in this division, or as, you know, one of the best teams in a team that's won it the last 3 years. And this is a team that, in my mind, and that it's going to go through. I know the other teams are really good, but you got to go through these guys. These guys have won. They've showed they're going to be good. Their lineup's good. Pitching's good. So, you know, I think it's big for us, obviously, to be able to come from behind the other night and then hang in there tonight. This is the kind of game that, you know, we haven't been able to win here. For us to be able to, Aggie gets us a big hit there. Would love to get more. But and then we Jimmy kind of closes that door. So, you know, without making too much out of it, it's good for our club, right? And sure, it's better for us, and it is bad for them because they're not going to go away.
Jordan?
Yeah, Donnie, to elaborate a little bit more on Aggie, just we know the energy and the charisma and everything he brings, but just the consistency you've seen out of him at the plate to start the season, and just seems like whenever you need a big spot, he's been able to come up a few times already.
No, Aggie can hit. You know, he kind of is like, I look at him as a big guy with a small swing. You know, he can put a ball in play when he needs to. He can use the whole field. I mean, this guy, he works right. He thinks right up the plate. So this guy's got a good plan when he's up there. And he can just hit, and he's consistent. So, you know, that's why you see this guy in the middle of your order, and you feel good when he's up there with men's scoring position.
Kelly?
Hey, Donnie, from Nick today, what did you see from him and what changed for him the second time through the lineup?
I thought Nick was good. I thought there were times that he got going a little fast. He was just making pitches. He's going to be fine. And that's a tough lineup to get through. And when you say second time through, you start, you know, he was fine in different spots. But that top is a bear to get through right now. I thought Nick was good. I thought his ball had life today. He was able to, you know, get some off speed in. I think he just, again, experience is coming. He's got to keep making pitches, not get excited and you know, about the situation. Just keep executing pitches. And he's going to be able to do that. He's going to be fine.
Kyle.
Hey, Donnie, I guess it kind of goes unnoticed at the end of the ball game, the way things played out. But Duvall throws out Freeman, and then he holds him to the single when he bangs one off the wall. Those are two pretty big parts of the game, too, no?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get an out in a game with these guys, it can change the game, right? And to be able to get Freddie there to end that inning and get us off the field is a good thing. You know, Jazz makes a play on Freddie. That keeps that inning from getting extended. Incredible play. But, yeah, Doofy's got a cannon. You don't really realize it, but he throws really well. And he moves good out there. You know, I know there were some worries about him, moving him to right, but this guy profiles out there. He does everything you want to do from that spot.
Let's go back to Christina.
Donnie, it might overlap a bit with Kyle's, I guess, question and what you might have touched upon before, but – when you're facing a team like the Braves or, you know, considered, I guess, the gold standard, how, you know, important is it to make those kind of plays, whether it's that, maybe even, you know, base running, taking that extra base, just little things that maybe don't necessarily show up in that box score?
It's kind of every day. Honestly, there's no real relief of that. I mean, I think doing that turns you into a good ball club. You know, when we become the team that's not making mistakes on the bases, and everybody's going to make some, making the plays we should make, getting the outs we should get, keeping guys to, you know, singles when we should, leaving the double play in order, throwing the ball the right way, all those little things really add up on good teams, right? And teams that are overly talented, they get away with a lot more. And I think if we're going to, you know, you talk about this division and how tight it's going to be, that means we're going to have to be that type of club that can do all those little things and be good at it.
Ethan.
Thanks, Jason. Donnie, I got two for you tonight. The first one, that Acuna guy is pretty good. And that, you know, you talked early before the series how the plan is kind of fastballs up and in, but both his home runs tonight were down and away. Is that a matter of execution, or are pitchers trying to avoid that kind of, you know, pitching him tight narrative that we've seen in the past?
I don't feel like I said that we were going to pitch him up and in. I said the other day, I talked about him.
That's the way to get him out though, right?
Well, I don't think, you know, when you get guys like him, you don't get him out one way. You got to be able to move the ball to different parts of the plate. You do have to be able to gain inches away. You got to be able to get the ball into him. And I think Richard did. He tried to sink one down hard on him. And that's Richard's game. He's trying to execute pitches, and he really does execute pitches. And sometimes you tip your hat at this point, right, with him. He's just on fire. But you really don't want to walk him. They got the next guy up is dangerous too. So, yeah, there's not going to be one spot where you say, if you get the ball right here and you keep going there, he's going to make the adjustment to that. So there are probably spots that you feel like you got better chances. So I'm not sure exactly where those are right now.
And then the other thing is we keep talking about measuring stick, and it was kind of rough in the playoffs last year. Do you feel like there was a little bit of extra juice to go out there and measure up in this series as you guys have done so far, taking the first three?
I don't know if it's coming from the playoffs or it's just coming from, you know, way we know who they are. I think we also, you know, there's a belief in this club, within this club, that we got a good team, right? And that means that you got to get ready to play and you got to be able to beat everybody. So I think it comes from a humble place of, you know we got a good club, but we know we're in a division that you just don't get to be fired up for certain clubs. You got to be ready to play all the time. So, you know, much as anything, you know, I think we do have, obviously these guys are the team that we look at as the team that's beat us up.
Craig Mish.
Hey, Donnie, just a quick one. I feel like we haven't talked about Floro a ton, but this guy has come in and pitched so many games for you already. And I think I've seen just one hit given up. I mean, has he been even better than you thought he would be coming over here? And we just really haven't talked about him a lot.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, to this point, obviously he hasn't given up a run and don't feel like he's even given up hardly a runner. I think he's probably better than you even thought. You've seen him in spring and his stuff has even ticked up. And I think that's where, you know, you start making judgments in spring on anything, it's a fooler, because we've got veteran guys that are out there trying to make pitches, getting themselves ready in spring training, knowing what they're going to get into. So if you start trying to make judgments in spring about guys, that's where you end up getting in trouble. And he's one of those guys. It was okay in spring. Had a little soreness early and we slowed him down. But he's been, I guess the long answer or short answer to that is, yeah, he's probably been better than you.
Anything else for the manager?
That was Don Mattingly after the win at Truist Park last night. The Braves are slumping a little bit here. The Marlins roll into town. They take the first three games in this series. Impressive fashion. One blowout and a couple very tightly contested ball games. One big swing of the bat last night. You heard it from Glenn earlier. You heard the highlight, Jazz Chisholm. I caught up with Jazz after the ball game.
Okay, Jazz, thank you for joining us. I want to ask you about your home run. I also want to ask you about this gutsy effort tonight. But how about the job navigating that Braves order by Yimi Garcia there in the 10th inning?
Oh, man, you know, Yimi's a very gutsy pitcher himself. You know, he goes out there and he gives everything he has, and he puts his balls to the wall every day. You know what I mean? Like, he goes out there, he goes after guys, and that's how he gets outs, and I love it. You know what I mean? I love guys that go after people, which our team did really well today. Nick Neider did it all day today. John Curtis came in and did the same thing, and then Yimi came out and closed it. So it was amazing.
All right, Jazz, top of the third inning, that pitch by Morton, you lean back, my man. That must have felt pretty good. What are you looking to do in that at bat?
Me, I was only looking to stay to the middle of the field, you know, and I got a pitch that I can handle and put some barrel on it, you know. Try not to overdo things and keep it smooth and simple.
Jazz, these last couple of ball games, not so much last night, but certainly Monday and tonight, these might be ball games in the past for this club that get away and the Braves come up in the win column. What kind of confidence has this series given you guys?
I mean, we take it back to last year, you know, in the playoffs where we were taking it at heart. You know, we lost 3-0, 3-1 in the series, you know, and we just took it to heart and said that we were going to come out and fight against these guys every day. You know, we're never going to give up. Never gonna like put our heads down when we're out of the game. We're gonna keep fighting every day because we owe these guys for kicking us out of the playoffs last year. So that's what we went out and did today.
Jazz, last one for you. You were here last year, obviously, but you've looked so darn good this season. Is the game slowing down for you? How comfortable are you out there right now?
Oh man, I'm super comfortable out there. You know, my guys are letting me do my thing. You know, you got the vets on our team, like. They're not no ordinary vets, you know. They're letting me do what I want to do. They're letting me be myself. So I'm having a lot of fun and being very comfortable out there, you know. They're letting me pop my chains. They're letting me do backflips and have fun out there. So I really, like, I owe it to the guys for letting me feel as comfortable as I can.
Doc, you can keep doing whatever you want, Jez, if you're going to keep putting baseballs in ponds 412 feet away and hitting them 110 miles an hour. So we appreciate the time. Enjoy the victory tonight. Go get them tomorrow.
Thank you, man.
That was Jazz Chisholm after the Marlins 6-5 win over the Atlanta Braves at Truist Park up in Atlanta last night. The Marlins now 5-6. The Braves fall to 4-8. Game 4 of this series. Marlins looking for a 4-game sweep. Coming up at 12:10 this afternoon, Trevor Rogers versus the right-hander Ian Anderson. It is an 11:40 airtime with Marlins on deck. And as always, we hope you'll find some time to join us on the Marlins Radio Network, driven by AutoNation.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.